baptism Wednesday night was special. My son, Timmy, got engaged last night. Those of you who know the story, would do what I did. He called Beta, and Beta went out of the room, and I just got on my knees and just praised God in heaven, But anyway, I did want to thank one person. I've known him for a long time, but his name is Mr. Nealon. I can't call him Bob Nealon. He's Mr. Nealon or Yes Sir or Sir. Because I met him when I was 18 years old. And he was, man, I don't want to be emotional sermon. Hopefully I can get through this. But he was probably my age right now. And I have become a Christian at Clemson. Go back home to Kingsport, Tennessee. And he and several other couples, he and his wife Ann, Blake's mom, would take me in. And they would have Bible study. Every time I came to visit, and it was special. And I just feel like, Mr. Nealon, that God has brought you back in my life now. And I get to see you. And you made a big impact on me. So, amen. Anyway, I apologize for not wearing red or green this morning. There's a reason for that. Hi, Deacon and Anders. Yeah, your mom came up to me about 7 years ago. I was wearing this really cool winter green jacket. I was so proud in the Christmas spirit. And she comes up to me and says, "Brother, you look like a big old Christmas tree." Anyway, I stopped wearing red and green after that. So, let me get out my... I just need to put this here. 10:29. Okay, we're doing good. John chapter 1. There's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they all have the same challenge. How do I introduce this Jesus? Mark jumps right into John the Baptist and the ministry and all that. Matthew and Luke start with stories that we hear all the time. Awesome stories, moving stories, deep and rich stories. But they've gone a little bit further back. And they do genealogies too, which is full confession. I used to probably skip. I did skip those quite often. And now I've been around the block a little bit. I'm like, I actually recognize some of the names in there. And I recognize some of the stories. And maybe that's why they're in there and all that. So, but John goes all the way back. John goes back to in the beginning. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." And the only, when we read that, and we might have read it a bunch of times, but when we read that, the only, in my mind, my reaction is still the same, is, what? What is he talking about? I had an English teacher named Mrs. Matherly, and Mrs. Matherly is one of those, you just never look her in the eyes, she's going to draw you into some, she's got the tractor beam effect, And she, English teacher in high school, she was tough. And she, with John, I think she would read this and take out, her red marker, just very, excited, and start marking it up. Right out of her bouffant hair and all that kind of stuff. But that's, I think a lot of us read this kind of like Mrs. Matherly. We rush through it. We mark it up, or we just kind of glance over what it's trying to say. And see, John has a challenge. They all had a challenge. But John had a challenge that he expressed at the end of his book. It's a scripture in the Bible, and it says, "Hey, I suppose that if you were to write down everything Jesus said and did and who he was, it would take up all the books of the entire world." And so how is John going to approach this challenge? How is he going to introduce Jesus? And he does this, it's kind of I would call it a narrative poetry. He does it with some podcasts I listen to, they call it a hyperlink. And he says, "In the beginning," that's a hyperlink. He goes, "Oh, I've heard that before, that's Genesis 1. in the beginning. I call it a throwback. And a throwback is more emotional. You know, it's like when your parents hear an old song, right, and they start singing or they embarrass you, you know, Beta would start dancing, you know. You hear an old song, it's emotional connection. And that's what John is after. It's a kind of an emotional, spiritual connection. I'm throwing this out there for you to think. Can I have my water bottle, please, somebody? I forgot to do that before I... Thank you. The throwback here is to Genesis in the beginning. And the people who heard this, you know, when it was first written, it was like, in the beginning, I know that story. You don't have to go any further. I know that story. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John is saying, hey, in the beginning, okay, you're supposed to go back there, but John doesn't say God. So the good Jewish listener or reader, a Jewish Christian reader, even the Gentiles listening, they're going to say, hey, I've heard that story, but you're changing it up. And John's introducing was the Word, and that Word was God, and the Word was with God in the beginning. Now, even the topic of the Word, though, even that is a throwback to Genesis. And you can start to see the pattern there as we go through John, and it's neat. You'll get the hang of it here in a sec. It says, Genesis 1:2, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And the Word is there. The concept of the Word is there. The Spirit of God is hovering over these dark chaos waters. And that word, the Hebrew word for spirit is breath. Is breathe, is the idea of breath. And let's see, David Rankin mentioned this in his I call it a sermon, his little communion last few weeks back. He kind of referenced both John 1 and the idea of all scripture is God breathe, the word, you know, is God breathe. So again, this John introduces the idea of the word, and he wants you to say, hey, go look at Genesis. And also the idea of the creation is God spoke this creation into existence. And just to kind of conceive and slow down and conceive what John is getting at, he's saying, hey, you know what happened back there? You know, I mean, this is the special, it's a cornerstone of the Jewish faith. I mean, he's saying, you know what happened back there? It's about to happen again. The fulfillment of the ideas that happened there it's coming alive again, and I'm going to tell you a story about how that's going to come alive. That's what he's trying to tee up here. You know, this connection, this throwback, it's interesting. It's something that's near and dear. I did get a text from I'm part of a little text group in this Bible and Ear thing, and I got a text from both Ann Burden and Christine Law on this subject. This week on Tuesday. And again, we're just kind of reading something randomly at the end of Acts. And Ann Burton says, it seems that the New Testament is righting all the wrongs from the Old Testament. This is a random text. I mean, they're tracking on this very topic. And I'm like, oh man, that travels. We could have a discussion about that. And then Christine Law says, yeah, Bible in a Year has taught me that we are missing so much of the points made in the New Testament if we really don't know the Old Testament. And so they're fair game in fellowship. You know, whenever they're fair game, go ask them. You know, they're both women worthy of respect. And, you know, I'm sure it'll be a great conversation. So let's, you know, the only thing we could park right here and talk about the Word. I mean, it's a bigger idea. It's just a bigger idea than this. It's just the Bible. It's a big idea, and it deserves a conversation. We're not going to have it right now because we have to move along. I'm just trying to kind of whet your appetite with all this. The only thing I'll say, a conclusion to make from this, is that we all want a relationship with God, and there's no concept of a relationship with God outside of the Word being a part of it. Right? That's all I'm going to say. I'll just let that sit there. You can have a conversation about that as well. Let's move on to the second part, or the next part I want to talk about, or John talks about, verse 3. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man, was coming into the world. Now, I know we kind of rush through this and we say, yes, I agree. You know, I think God wants to move our hearts with this, with the very concept of we heard light. We heard light over and over again. We actually heard light. Any guesses? How about high school students? Any guesses how many times light might appear? It's a special God number that's really on his heart.
A lot.
A lot. That's the right answer. Any other guesses on how many times light appeared and what I just... Right. Seven. Yes, seven. Seven times. And that's got, you know, I'm not going to read a lot into it, but it's already in Genesis here, and we're seeing the number seven. That's introduced in Genesis. And in my mind, I'm taking that. I'm taking that and saying, hey, seven times God wants us to see light back in Genesis. And I just want to, you know, you might think, oh, all of this is cool. And there's parts of it that are cool, you know. But for me, this is where it gets real. You know, the topic of light and darkness. Light and darkness is talked about, John 1, John 1 talks about light and darkness. So does Genesis 1. In Genesis 1, the next part, let's see if I can, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good and separated light from darkness. And we read that, and I've read reviews of that, that just says, okay, that's God introducing, you know, time, the structure of time and things like that. And I'm like, well, okay. I mean, we know it's not the sun and moon and stars. That's the fourth day, right? So God introducing light, what is that about? And I strongly feel during this Christmas time, especially, the light is more talking about spiritual light, emotional light, God introducing. And again, John 1 is saying, hey, I'm reintroducing that. We lost that in the garden. It's no longer, we can't get back there. It's gone. I mean, God shows up in light form, tabernacle, there's light. You know, there's light throughout the Old Testament, but it's not like day one light. The whole day one light was, hey, I'm there was only darkness there. Remember, the Spirit is sitting over the kind of darkness. There's only darkness. God's saying, hey, I'm coming and I'm introducing light. And he does in the Garden of Eden. And John 1 is saying, hey, I'm going to tell you a story that's reintroducing this light. It's bringing light into our lives. And I'm telling you, from my personal, you know, it's the great irony of Christmas, right? It's a joyous time. It's a family time. But for many of us, it's a difficult time. And for different reasons. I mean, there could be generational dysfunction. There could be, things that make it just so difficult to be around people or you know, things like divorce. And that's not a topic I bring up with any judgment whatsoever. It's just a brokenness. And it exhibits itself a lot during the holidays. Let's just go ahead and say that sometimes there's sin that comes in, sinful natures, you know, that's just a part. And for us, you know the story. We are not alone in our specific story, in our losses, in our loss. Many in this group right here today have loss, have grief, have an empty table, have an empty stocking. It's difficult. And for me, it's real. This darkness, I mean, I feel like sometimes it's sitting right here as a weight on my shoulder. And a lot of you can probably relate. You have your own thing. This is kind of my burden. You have your own burden. And I would say this is a concept, this light concept is something I'm drawn to. I try to slow down. I try to stop. I try to grasp it. There's something about it within the Word. You know, the Word is centered in there. And so it's more than just cool. John is really seriously trying to tee this up for us. And just a few more, you know, in here. I'm just going to put these notes away. In verse 10, we're going to read verse 10 through 14. And we're going to stop at verse 14. Again, there's a lot here. But in verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Again, historically, I just passed right over this. But we are right in the middle of Genesis here, with the last part. That the children, not born of natural descent, nor human decision, or husband will, but born of God. And again, this is a Jesus Christmas time story. It centered us back to Adam and Eve now. We're in Genesis chapter 2, where God says, hey, I created Adam and Eve, intimate with me in the garden, intimate with each other, man and woman, intimate. You know, it was beautiful creation. John 1 is saying, hey, we're reintroducing this intimacy with man and woman, wholeness. You talk about brokenness and darkness, wholeness. You know, all that's being reintroduced with that thought. I'll leave it there. Again, I'm just kind of whetting your appetite. Maybe you'll have a conversation here over Christmas about these things. And then in verse 14, the Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I see three words there. And maybe you're looking, maybe you're seeing it. Maybe, you know, it's resonating with you. But the Word became flesh. And yes, that talks about Jesus' humanity, but it also talks about Genesis 2 again, man and woman. And specifically, man and woman, the two will become one flesh. And I just feel like, okay, and I'm okay with being maybe a little bit off on what I'm talking about. I welcome the discussion on this topic. It's a complicated and deep topic, but this is how I look at it. And you know, when it says about flesh, I'm like, hey, man and woman, intimacy, flesh. I'm gonna go after the Jesus. In the end, Jesus hadn't even been mentioned, by the way. There's no name here yet that's been given, but it's leading up to Jesus. And then the second one is he lived for a while among us. The other word is dwell. He dwelled for a while among us. We're moving out of Genesis, Dorothy. We're going to Exodus, right? We're going to dwelling, God dwelling. Yes, I mean, the very first temple, if you want to call it that, was the Garden of Eden, God dwelling with man. The second one was the tabernacle. And you know the whole story, way too big of a story to get into now. So just teeing that up, God dwelt there. John 1 is saying, hey, I want to do that again. And lastly, the glory. This is rich. This is Exodus 33 and 34, Moses. I skipped right over this, but I'm like, man, there's too many other words from the Torah here. And so the glory, where Moses says, God, show me your glory. And God said, I'll show you my glory. In fact, I do want to read this one. It says, now show me your glory. And God says, I will cause my goodness. That's God's glory. It's not his strength, it's not his judgment, it is his goodness. You know, those things are part of God, but his goodness, I'll cause my goodness to pass in front of you or proclaim my name in your presence. And it goes on and on. This is the one. God is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, but still a judge. Exodus 33 to 34. So That's the throwback on that one. And I would probably conclude, two conclusions would be, one is, talk about it. The Bible's written for us. There's no way around not talking about this. We are not going to get it on our own. It is a communal way of writing that John is doing here. So talk about it. And the other, my conclusion is, God teed up Eden in the beginning, and that's gone. It's gone. But John 1, God wants to take Eden. He wants to bring back Eden, literally, in a way. There's no literally, I guess, but bring back Eden and put it in our hearts through the Word and through His Son, Jesus. Let's pray, and we'll have communion. God, we love you so much. We're so grateful. We're grateful for the Word. It is you, God. It is somehow you. It is also with you. It is Jesus. It is the Spirit. Father, we pray in a real way that the birth of Jesus that we remember now, the life of Jesus, the death and resurrection, the blood of Jesus, the cross. Father, that we will just remember that now, remember it during Christmas time. It'll resonate with us. We'll be in tune with it. God, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the body of Jesus here now in this church and just being with us, God. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.